This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. A very good afternoon to you and yours and for everyone out there. We're going to talk a lot of sports. We've got a lot of Mid-American football to discuss today. And we'll talk about the other bowl games. So a lot of bowl games will be up to talk about today. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we're going to start out talking with Perry Farrell from the Detroit Free Press. We're going to talk about basically a lot about Northern Illinois going to the Orange Bowl and going to be in. As many of you know who were sitting up like I was watching the bowl selection showing Sunday night. Then we heard a lot of people whining and crying about the bowl games and about Northern Illinois going to the Orange Bowl. But it's in the rules. They got the bid. They deserved it. They earned it. But boy, there was a lot of whining going on out there. The problem is, you know, they set the rules. They changed the rules because of Boise State. Everybody wanted to get Boise State in, They changed the rules and they got Boise State in. And now, you know, you can't just put it to Boise State. The rules have to go for everybody, you know, and that's what they're doing. So, you know, I don't have a problem with them, but, you know, I know a lot of people who do. Well, right now, let's bring in our good friend from the Detroit Free Press, Perry Farrell, with us. Perry, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Earl Robinson, how are you, sir?
Hey, okay.
Is it snowing in Lansing or anything like that?
Not yet. If it's not going to do it today, then it might do it tomorrow. Who knows?
Right, anytime now.
Yes. Hey, I was really disappointed when I heard all that complaining and whining about Northern Illinois getting the BCS bid and going to the Orange Bowl. You know, everybody, all those people at ESPN are predicting that they're going to get hammered. It's not even going to be a game. What do you see? Do you think Northern Illinois at least can give them a decent game?
It's really funny that that happened because I was talking to Thomas Welcher, the Cass Tech football coach, on Saturday because he came to the game Friday. I said, you know, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Denard Robinson or would you rather have Jordan Lynch? Jordan Lynch rushed for 1,770 yards, which is an FBS record for a quarterback. He said, well, the problem is, he said, in the MAC, you don't face the different type of athlete that you do, say, at a Florida or Florida State. So he said, well, Denard could do that against anybody. He said Lynch, because of the speed of the guys in the ACC or the Florida or Florida States, might not be able to do the same things. But I like Northern Illinois for two reasons. One, their quarterback is a linebacker playing quarterback. Lynch is a real tough dude. He might not be able to get the yards that maybe Denard did, but he did. But he throws the ball better. And secondly, the kid, Akeem Daniels, is a big play threat. So I don't think it'll be 70-0. I think Northern Illinois will represent themselves well. They got pretty good size. They got decent speed. Like I said, this quarterback just set a record. He won't get the runs that he did against Kent State, but he'll be effective. So they're going to surprise some people because the MAC, the football is better than what people think it is.
Yes, I mean, the MAC got 7 bowl bids.
Including my alma mater, who finally put together a winning streak for the first time in 3 years.
Yes, Central, very happy for Central. They got in. And
your boy Danny Enos.
Yep. Yeah. Love Dan, good friend of mine.
And, well, I was getting ready to go up there and slap Danny around because it was looking bad for a minute, but he did a great job the last three games.
He did. They pulled it out. And that's the thing about the MAC. They got 7 bowl bids. Who would have thought before the year that the MAC would get 7 bowl bids? Maybe 3 or 4, but it's getting 7. That's really good.
Yeah, well, Central beat Iowa. I think Northern Illinois lost a close game to Iowa, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Central beat them. And Ohio beat Penn State at Penn State. Mm-hmm. So I think the MAC speaks for itself.
Yes, they do. They got some very good teams in the MAC with some very good games. What do you see? What do you think about that? This Pizza Bowl with you know, Central going up against Western Kentucky?
It'll be one of those 42-38 games. A lot of scoring. little or no defense. I mean, usually that's Central's had a hard time the last 3 years stopping people. It's just the last 3 weeks they put a streak together finally. So I look for a high-scoring game.
You know, that's the thing about Central. I knew Dan was going to, when he took the job, I knew when he changed the changed over the whole offense and everything, he was going to have trouble, because when you go from the spread attack to just the standard offense, you're asking for trouble, and he got a lot of trouble up there, didn't he?
Yeah, and then Antonio Brown left early. I'm saying, what is this kid doing? It's like, okay, I see what he's doing. He made a great move to go to the NFL.
Yeah,
playing very well with the Steelers. But when you change offenses like that, it takes time. I talked to Moe Rising after they lost to Michigan State. And he thought, he told me Danny was safe, but now going to a bowl game and, finishing with a 3-game winning streak, I think he's probably safe for next year.
Yeah.
You got to be able to score in the MAC. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to score 35, 40 points, because you got some great offenses. And if you can't keep up with these offenses, then you're going to get torched. I mean, Ball State won their last six games. I mean, they're on a roll. And they finished second in the West Division to Northern Illinois. So it's some good teams, and the MAC, they will win their share of ball games.
Yes, they are. They that's a team that's really come on, Ball State, along with the other ones that you mentioned. They're just playing much better football in the MAC. Even if they're not scoring offense, the defenses are picking up. I noticed a lot of MAC teams are starting to play a lot more tougher defensive football.
Yeah, and they're playing better teams in the non-conference. I mean, Charlie Batch, Eastern Michigan grad, led Pittsburgh to a win over Baltimore last night. You had Antonio Brown. You have Joe Staley with the 49ers. You got a ton of MAC players in the NFL because MAC football is good football.
Yes.
I mean, J.J. Watt started out at Central, transferred to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And J.J. Watt might win Defensive Player of the Year. That in itself says enough about the MAC.
Yeah, the MAC is really it never gets the credit that it deserves, that's for sure, especially from the national media.
Right, it doesn't. But the bottom line is they're putting players in the pros, and they're playing good football, and they will win this year of bowl games this year.
Yes, I'm sort of curious to watch and see how many they win. I mean, they're in seven of them, so they've got some pretty good. Let me read you the matchups here. The first one that they start out the very first week, you got Toledo going against Utah State, and that's two teams, a 9-3 team with Toledo and 10-2 with Utah State.
Toledo can score. It's going to be a high scoring game. I'll tell you that right now.
And then you have your Ball State coming up after that. Ball State going against UFC, University of California. I mean, Florida school. It's University of Central Florida.
Central Florida.
Yeah.
Now, Ball, like I said, they might be next to Northern, the hottest team in the league, because they won their last six games and finished 9-3. So I'll take Ball State in that game.
Yeah. And then Central, of course, against Western Kentucky.
I'm going to go against my alma mater. I'm going to take Western.
Okay. And then you have Bowling Green at San Jose State.
I think Bowling Green played Florida tough for a half down there in September. So I'll go with Bowling Green.
Okay. How about Louisiana Monroe and Ohio?
Ohio had a really good year. They beat Penn State at Penn State.
Yep. Yeah,
so I'm going to go with Louisiana Lafayette.
Okay. And then you had Northern Illinois against Florida State. Yeah.
Yeah, now I'm saying this. It's going to be a close game because Northern Illinois can score, but you got to go with those athletes down to Florida State.
Yeah.
E.J. Manuel and the Thompson kid, they are terrific players.
Yeah. Then you have Kent State versus Arkansas State.
I'll take Kent State.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. Good offense. This kid, Aree Archer, he's like a 4.25. Kid can fly. Dre Archer. So, yeah, I'll take them. And they played well against Northern. It is, took them to overtime and won those interceptions to them. So, I'll take Kent State.
Yeah. I don't know. The defenses might be a little bit better than we talk, that we discussed. They got some good defenders in the MAC. And they might just be a little bit better than what they, you've been telling them they might be.
Well, like you look, Muhammad Wilkerson went to Temple. Mm-hmm. When Temple was in the MAC.
Yeah.
You had some good players come out of the MAC that are Cullen Jenkins played at Central.
Yep, that's right.
So you got a lot of good talent. It's just when you're playing at Florida State, you have so much speed to do.
Yeah.
You have to have super quick corners who can cover and can run. And that's the difference, really. The skill positions and some of the linemen in the SEC, ACC are just maybe a little bigger. probably more quality, but you do have good linemen that come out of the MAC.
Yeah, and then I'm worrying about that speed factor with Michigan State going up against Texas Christian. That should be a good matchup, but, boy, you know TCU's got a lot of speed on that side of the ball.
They run the spread, I believe, don't they?
Yeah, I believe so.
You got the kids right there that can fly, and the key for them to be is tackling at the point of attack and trying to score some points.
Yeah, so it's
ball control with Le'Veon Bell.
Yep. Boy, with all these bowl games, do you think we're ever going to see a time when they're going to start, reducing these bowl games? We've talked about it for years, but nothing's happened as of yet. And we know there's going to be over, I'm pretty sure at least half these bowl games aren't going to have sellouts.
The problem is, and I've seen stories in that side, even teams like Ohio State, you go to a bowl game, you lose money. You got to take the band. You got to pay for the rooms. You got a certain amount of tickets to sell. Mm-hmm. And so you go to a ball game and you lose $300,000 or $400,000.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's entertainment. It's, you know, a good trip for the fans. But in the bottom line, a lot of athletic departments lose money.
Yes, they
Big
do.
Big money.
Yeah. Because you have to buy so many tickets. And a lot of people may not realize that the athletic departments, they've got to buy, you know, whether it's 10,000 or 20,000 seats. And it does, and a lot of people get their tickets, you know, from other sources than just going through the school getting their tickets. So,
and you can't send them back. You eat
right.
them. If you don't sell them, you eat them because you have to pay for them.
Yeah, so that's been a consistent problem, and we'll just have to wait and see how that one goes out because we know a lot of people, they go to certain ticket outlets. They won't buy them through the university because they can get them cheaper and get better seats when they buy them through some of the other outlets than just going through the athletic department.
Exactly, and you didn't mention Michigan, South Carolina. Come on,
alma
mater, come on.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tight game. That Clowney kid from
Clowney. He's special.
Is an unbelievable athlete. They've had their hands full trying to keep him out of the backfield.
Matter of fact, I put him on my Heisman Trophy ballot.
Well, you probably should have put Manti Te'o on it because he'd probably be finished first or second.
Yeah, I put Manti Te'o on it first. First time I've put two defensive players on my ballot in a long time.
Well, Te'o's special. I think he got 7 interceptions or something. They're undefeated. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either because I put them two, and then I had a quarterback on there. So,
Johnny Football?
Not him. I took the Kansas State quarterback.
Over Johnny Football?
Yep.
Okay, when the doctor comes up to examine you, we're going
to Johnny Football was pretty good.
Pretty
good. He was okay.
4,600 yards total offense?
Uh-huh.
Jimmy, 4,600
total
offense? Yeah,
that's good. Mm-hmm.
That's better than Tebow. Did your Tebow won it?
Did you know that?
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, when you do the examination, you'll see what's inside of your brain was working.
Yeah, because it's always – I always look at the Heisman Trophy, though. It's, you can't go wrong because there's nothing but good people that are nominated. So whoever you put up there or vote for, you're voting for a good player.
And it's not necessarily an NFL player, but a good player for college.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids had an incredible year.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, Perry, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, and good that we can get together and talk about the bowl games. So I look forward to talking to you again later on, my friend.
I'll send you the bill in the mail this week.
Okie dokie.
All right.
We'll talk to you later. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks. Thank you. That's Perry Farrell talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
It's believed that most young Americans infected by HIV don't know it. Now the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force wants a routine HIV test for every American between the ages of 15 and 65. Some worry, though, about the cost, others about privacy. I'm Neil Cunnan. Routine screenings for HIV plus our weekly read of the opinion page. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Scott Pohl. Thank you for tuning in. Areas of fog and cloudy with a high today in the low 60s. Tonight, rain is likely and there's a slight chance of thunderstorms too. Look for a low of 48. For Tuesday, windy and mostly cloudy and maybe some rain. Clearing up though, becoming mostly sunny with a high of 51.
And give us a call. Our lines are open 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk at WKAR.com. MacFootball.org. Now we're going to talk a little bit more MacFootball. We're going to be speaking with Ken Hoffman, the executive director of the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. And let's bring in our good friend Ken Hoffman. Ken, how you doing, buddy?
Just fine, Earl. How are you?
Hey, doing great. It's always good to talk with you. And are you surprised that the Mac got seven bids out of their conference for bowl games?
I think everyone's a little bit surprised, but Earl, it speaks to the year or the season that Mac football had. And this was clearly the most outstanding season in Mid-American Conference football history. And even end up with a team in the BCS, for crying out loud.
Yes.
And seven teams in bowl games. It's just a reflection of the year they had. The MAC was ranked in many different websites, magazines, newspapers as the number four conference, believe it or not, number four conference in the country. And with seven bowl games, I think that's the fourth highest of any conference in the country, so maybe it's pretty accurate.
And then we'll see now, that's going to bring in a lot of money to the MAC because, as you know, there are a lot of teams that aren't doing that well, so they're going to be able to use getting into seven bowl games. That's going to be a lot of money that will be split up.
Yeah, it really is. And just the BCS game alone with Northern Illinois going to the Orange Bowl, it's not a full share like it would be if they were a BCS conference, but it's pretty good. I don't know the exact number, but maybe somewhere in that $8 to maybe $10 million range. And, you know, that's money that they don't typically see, clearly.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very good day for the MAC, that's for sure. Hey, Ken, now, as you know, we talked a little bit about it. You know, I was a little upset that all the criticism that was coming down on Northern Illinois, who's going and rightly deserved the bid to the Orange Bowl. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit and some of the others were just ripping on Northern Illinois.
Yeah, that's true. There were a lot of people who criticized it, and there were others like Mark May on ESPN I happen to agree with. You know, they set the rules.
Yes.
If you don't like the rules, then go change the rules. But don't complain about it once you've made the rules and schools do what they're supposed to do and they get in, and then you complain about it. That makes no sense.
It doesn't because, as you know, the people, they were really complaining and whining because Boise State wasn't getting in. So they passed the rules, changed the rules so Boise State could get in. But even though that affected all the other conferences out there, they just couldn't do it for Boise State. And, it's worked out well for the MAC and for the other schools.
Yeah, it really has. And you know, I mean, I understand, and so do you, that people like, you know, Herbstreit and some of the others who were criticizing Northern Illinois the most, I don't think they were criticizing Northern Illinois as a team, but they're saying, you know, how can you compare Northern Illinois to, say, you know, Oklahoma or
yeah.
Clemson or whoever? And how could you bypass them? Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, the rules are what the rules are, and Northern Illinois had an outstanding team. I don't know if they would ever beat Oklahoma or anybody else, but nobody thought Boise State would beat them either, and they did. And back in the Fiesta Bowl several years back,
yes,
the Statue of Liberty play and all that, the trick plays that they ran. And so, you know, they don't have the name that a lot of the other schools do, or perhaps the major market, although they're not far from Chicago. But you know, it's all about access. They set the rules. And Northern Illinois got in according to the rules. They did what they had to do, and, you know, I don't think anybody should complain about it.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. People shouldn't complain about it, that's for sure. Like you say, they followed the rules, they did everything they were supposed to do, and they got in, and that's enough said there because they did what they had to do.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it's been it's quite a cap to the most outstanding year in MAC football history, and I think, deservedly so. Whether or not they would beat some of the other teams that got left out, you know, who's to say? We just don't know.
Yes, that's for sure. Hey, Ken, what about, when we look around and we see all these different teams, and then let's talk about Michigan State as well. They've got a tough game with TCU, which is they've got a lot of speed on that team. So I imagine TCU is probably going to be a slight favorite just because of all the speed that they have.
Yeah, probably so. And yet, I don't know. I haven't seen the line, or I don't know if there is one yet. But I think what Michigan State has going for it is a very strong defense. And the fact that I believe it's a fact that TCU is down to perhaps its third-string quarterback, second or third string. Now, I don't know whether the starter will come back for the bowl game or not, but I give Michigan State, I would think they'd have a very good chance in that game. Certainly, it should be a close game one way or the other, I would suppose.
Yeah, I would think so as well. It should be a close game. But right now, I haven't done all I haven't done all my homework yet on TCU. So I just probably say they're a slight favorite right now. Once I get all the homework done, then I'll be able to hopefully do it a little bit more accurate. What do you say about all these bowl games and the team? Because that's the thing, you know they aren't hardly. Don't get a rematch in a bowl game from two teams. Usually there are two teams that haven't seen each other at all. That makes it a pretty good challenge, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's, you know, that's the intention of the bowl system, is to put teams that have had, six or more wins, a successful season, against an opponent from another league. Now, generally speaking, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the traditional bowl matchup, and pretty much that's the way it's been over the years. I'm certainly one who is not opposed to a conference having two teams in the same game, as long as they didn't have that game played earlier in the season, as long as it's not a rematch. But in this case, you know, it's sort of a celebration of the successful teams from one conference against the successful teams of another conference. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it makes for some great matchups. I think we have quite a few this year.
Do you think we'll ever see a day when they'll reduce bowl games? I mean, we got 35 now. Do you see it a day? It might go down to 30 or 20, in the 20s? Or on the other end, do you think they'll see maybe increase the number of bowl teams you need to win, increase that back to 7?
You know, all those things are possible. I think in the end, it comes down to the conferences not wanting to have any of their teams left out. So I'd be surprised if they went to 7 now that they're used to having their teams with 6 wins get into bowl games. But that's certainly a possibility. It was discussed last year. And then in terms of the number of bowl games, I wouldn't be surprised if it was reduced a little bit. It's going to be a function of what the conferences want to do starting in 2014, how many bowl games they feel they need, where they want to play them, who's willing to step up and pay the payouts that they're looking for, you know, supply and demand. And so it'll be interesting to see. I don't think there'll be a huge change, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a reduction by a few, at least in the bowl system.
Yeah, Ken, I've always sort of worried, you know, do we ever, do something for the fans who are paying the tickets to go to these games? Seems like every year seems like there are less fans willing to travel because of the economy and everything. Travel to bowl games, and I don't know if that continues to be a trend. They'll almost be forced to make a change, wouldn't they?
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to be a major factor in the decisions that conferences have as far as how many bowl games they want and where those games are going to be played. You know, I contend that more and more they are regional games with national coverage. And I've always felt that way. But, there's the big games with the big teams. You know, you would tend to have more people travel to those. On the other hand, there are more games than not that would be difficult to travel to unless you try to regionalize them. And I think that's the only thing that makes sense, especially in today's economy.
Yeah. Now, how many people do you think Northern Illinois will be able to take to the Orange Bowl or will travel to the Orange Bowl to see Northern Illinois?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it's the same thing with how many will travel for Kent State. They're going to Mobile to play the Sun Belt Conference champion for the second year in a row, Arkansas State. And, who knows? I have no way of knowing that, nor does anyone else, because there's no roadmap there. There's, you know, it's uncharted territory, and we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, I would hope that Northern Illinois will find a way to send, you know, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 fans there. I don't know if they can or not. It's still a trip that you have to be able to budget for. You've got to get there, and it's a difficult drive, so I'm assuming most people are going to try to fly. But, you know, people have driven to Florida before, so yeah, it won't be the first time. I hope they do well, and I hope Penn State does well.
Yeah. What about Michigan? You know, they've got to go to Florida this year. How do you see them and their matchup? Got a pretty good matchup against South Carolina.
Yeah, that's a good matchup. I think that's one of the great games that will be played. You know, Michigan's got such a strong following. I mean, they're going to do well, and they always do. Wherever they go, they travel well. I wouldn't expect this to be any different.
Okay, give us a call. Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870-355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're talking with Ken Hoffman from the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl. So call us up, talk sports with us as we're looking at some of the matchups, Michigan, Michigan State, and some of the Big Ten teams. The Big Ten, they were pretty lucky, I think, Ken, to get, like, they got about seven bowl bids, too. And that's, in all honesty, a little bit surprising, but they did have seven teams qualify. So, you know, a little bit surprising, though.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look back on it, they had nine teams bowl eligible, but but it would have qualified. But with the Ohio State and Penn State sanctions, then that left seven. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, we fell one short of being able to get a Big Ten team. But we've got a very nice Western Kentucky team coming in, making its first bowl trip ever. We've got quite a history of inviting teams making their first bowl trip, and it's sort of a formula for success because they're very excited to come. They're bowl hungry, obviously. And, you know, they're within a drive, albeit a seven-hour drive. They can drive here. And I think it'll make for a good matchup with Central Michigan. We should have a nice crowd and a fun, exciting game.
Okay. We've got a caller for you on the line. We got Woody. Woody, hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Earl?
Okay.
Ken, I got this question for you. I know that the prices are expensive for just an average bowl. But for a BCS, aren't the prices in the couple $100 range for tickets?
Like the BCS tickets?
Or Rose Bowl?
Yeah, I do know that the BCS championship game is, you know, $250, $350 a ticket. I'm not sure of the other BCS games, but I would imagine they're $150 to $200 a ticket each. And
right.
I know the Rose Bowl is for sure.
Most of the Mid-America sites charge $25 or $30 for a regular season ticket
yeah.
to a home game?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we went up to Central and we saw that for other than the Michigan State game, the ticket prices for the rest of their games were like $25 or $30. So I think that's something to be considered as to how many Northern Illinois takes to a BCS game when they probably charge about $25 for a home game, or when they go to see a Western Michigan or a Toledo game versus going all the way to Miami, Florida and paying a BCS bowl price.
Well, certainly there's a huge disparity there in the cost of the tickets, but I think you have to keep it in perspective. This is perhaps once in a lifetime, in all likelihood, once in a lifetime opportunity for a Mid-American Conference team, or in this case, Northern Illinois University, to go to the Orange Bowl to play Florida State in a BCS game. It's just not going to happen very often, if ever again. And if there's another team that makes it, you know, it's not likely to be Northern Illinois. It's proposed other team.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Kenda. Do you think these teams, the Mid-American Conference teams, as you know, over the years, the Mid-American Conference was pretty liberal as far as letting coaches hang on or finish out their contracts for 4 or 5 years. It seems like they're getting a little bit shorter stick now. Do you see that continuing with the Mid-American Conference teams, getting rid of coaches as quick as they do in the Big Ten and some of the other places?
No, I don't see it as much. I don't think we will see that as much. There have been changes made in the Mid-American Conference coaching staffs. But more than anything, changes are made as coaches have success and move up into the major conference coaching positions. Like Dave Doran just left Northern Illinois to go to North Carolina State. in the ACC. So I think that's where more of the changes will take place rather than from lack of success. But that does happen. There's no question about it.
Yes, because just some of these teams are. Well, that's the thing, you know. If you have some success in the MAC, you probably just about should get up, because there's no sense in saying at that school, because you can get more money, of course, in the bigger conferences, and you're more marketable at that time. So it's probably we see that all the time. Boy, if a coach in a MAC conference school has some success, somebody wants him, and he's usually gone.
Yeah, there's a lot of balance. You know, in the Mid-American Conference, there's six teams with eight or more wins this year. As I say, this is a record year, but there's six teams you could pretty much throw a blanket over them. Northern Illinois, you could say, you know, is a little bit better than the others, but Kent State's right there, as is Toledo and Bowling Green and Ball State and Ohio U. Ohio U got hurt quite a bit in injuries. I think they had 15 surgeries that they had to have, so they started out, you know, undefeated, like 7-0, I believe it was, and lost quite a few down the stretch. But that team was, lost a lot of the players who helped them to that 7-0 undefeated start. Lost them to injury. So, there's a lot of teams, and therefore, you never know if you're going to get back into the championship game. And like you said, Earl, when a coach has success for a few years in a row, he can maintain that success and gets an opportunity to move up and make big money, you know, why would you not? And have an opportunity to get into a league where you can win a national championship.
Sure. And Kent State, that's a team that sort of surprised everybody. I mean, first-year coach, Daryl Hazel, from Ohio State. He's done a fantastic job there, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has. He's turned that program around very quickly. Obviously, they had some good recruits in before he got there. He's not playing all freshmen and sophomores, but he's done a great job in making this team come together and be a family and have great success. So they're making their first bowl trip in 40 years since Nick Saban was a defensive back on the team and Jack Lambert was a middle linebacker.
And what about Frank Solich? Has done such a great job at Ohio. After leaving Nebraska and going there, he's really did a great job in raising the level and the competition in the University of Ohio.
Yeah, that's another one. I mean, he has made Ohio University very relevant again, and probably would have had even greater success this year were it not for the injury bug. So I certainly wouldn't be surprised if Frank Solich is interested in moving on. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that opportunity.
Yes, and he might, that's for sure. Hey, Ken, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and looking over the MAC and all these conference. The MAC, like you said, they just had an excellent year in football this year. Who knows if it'll happen again, but it happened this year, so that's great. And it's going to pull in a lot of schools for the MAC. I mean, a lot of money for the MAC conference. Once they divide the money up, it's going to help a lot of budgets in the MAC.
Yeah, definitely so. Thank you very much, Earl.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Hey, we'll talk to you later, my buddy.
Yep, bye now.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Ken Hoffman, executive director from the Motor City Bowl, and he's talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after we take this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
An unfolding scandal at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio suggests that trainers systematically abused recruits. But can prosecutions, a wingman policy, or the creation of a military special victims unit stop future assaults? I'm Neil Conan. Sexual assault in the military, plus are AP classes just a racket for the College Board? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Cloudy today and areas of fog in the forecast with a high of 63 degrees. Tonight, rain is likely and there's a slight chance of thunderstorms. Our low will be in the upper 40s. Tomorrow, windy and mostly cloudy and maybe some rain. Clearing up, though, the high will be 51 as it becomes mostly sunny. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR East Lansing. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. So we're going to be talking about the bowl games as we had a lot of big bowl games coming up. So a lot of good. I look at all the matchups this year. It looks like we've got a lot of good matchups. I don't see too many dogs, but I know we'll have a few mismatches out there. There always are a few mismatches almost every year. So, but we've got some good games there, and hopefully we'll be able to, we'll get most of the good games. There'll be some surprises. Of course, there always is some surprises. But I think we've got a lot of good matchups. I'm looking at this first game coming up on December 15th. That's Nevada going against Arizona State. 2-7-5 teams. But that could be a very, very good game. And you have a Toledo 9-3 and Utah State 10-2. And you see, have San Diego State 9-3 and BYU 7-5. So that could be a good game. So we won't go down to the list of all of them, but there's certainly going to be some very good bowl games. That's for sure. So, hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on the Monday afternoon edition of Sports Talk 870. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Now, of course, all the polls are out and everything. And, of course, Notre Dame was number one. Alabama's number two. Some places had Ohio State number three, in some places, even though they're not eligible for any of the other polls, but they are put in the AP poll, and they're listed in there. We see all this, these teams at the top, everybody – they were excited a couple of weeks ago because they thought there might be three or four teams undefeated or three or four, maybe even five teams unbeaten. But, of course, everybody basically got beat out during the second game or the last couple of weeks here. Now, I have a little beef to pull against Notre Dame, who's at the top. Now, that's why the rules are probably constantly changing. I don't know how Notre Dame. I mean, yes, because they're independent and they're still, but they may have to get into a conference eventually, because somebody is going to say, hey, why should we play them? They're not a conference team opponent. All they have all they got to do is qualify and they're in. Now they didn't have to play in a conference tournament. They got by that, so all they had to do is just finish their regular season, and they had a good regular season, won all their games. But some people will say, why does Notre Dame have to play, or should they play in a conference tournament or in a conference championship game? Why don't they have to do that? And that's, of course, we can't answer that because, we just know they're an independent. They're not affiliated. They're affiliated with the ACC, but they don't have to play an ACC schedule and play teams in the ACC on a regular basis. But they want all the, they want the situation, all the goodies that goes along with being in a conference without having to do the things that they need to do. So they get the perks of being in a conference, but away with not being in a conference, just about the same way. So, Aaron, how do you see that? Because I just think that's a little bit upset, just not a lot, but watching Notre Dame get the final, a good bid to a quality bowl game and everything because they're undefeated. But what did they do for it?
Well, I mean, they went undefeated. I mean, that's as simple as that. I mean, I don't have an issue with it. I mean, the rules are set up to, they're not in a conference, obviously, but, they're more of a powerhouse than, say, if a Boise State went – well, I guess if Boise State went undefeated, they would be up there now probably. Mm-hmm. But
They would.
They wouldn't have, like, 5 years ago. But, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, they beat some great quality teams. They didn't have a weak schedule by any means. And, that some of the games were a lot closer than they probably needed to be. But they did the job, got the W's, and they're undefeated, and I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. You can't say they don't deserve to be there. I don't think I mean, just the way the system is set up, they have to be there.
Yep, and that's what happened. Yes, they have to be there. They were 12-0, and they're rated number one. That's for sure. Alabama had that grueling schedule. Had to play against Georgia in a tough game, and they barely won, but they won. They beat out Georgia, and they get to play in another BCS championship game. That's for sure. So congratulations to Alabama and that. And that's the thing. Alabama had played such a good schedule. That really helped them along the way. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870, WKAR, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. And let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
How you doing there, Earl? I just want to say thanks to the Michigan State volleyball team for advancing.
Yes, they're doing quite well.
Okay. And also, Earl, when you going to go to a ball game?
Good question.
Yeah. Okay, hey, Earl, also, you know what? The Detroit Lions going to make me a fan yet, because no other football team I know find more creative ways to lose games than the Lions.
Yes, they are. They make a history of that. they got a monopoly on that.
I wonder if do the Lions have to go back and rebuild their team again, because they lose? It's just like they take two steps forward and three steps back. It's just, I don't know if it's a depth problem, or it's just the character of the players, or it's just the organization.
Well, some of it is depth problem, because you know they're still in the building process. But now, after last year, their fans are now rooting for the Lions. The Lions have to be better prepared for the teams they face. Before then, everybody would come into town and play the Lions. They'd take them for granted. They'd play in the second half and figure they could walk away with a victory. Well, you can't do that anymore. Now the our teams are coming in prepared to play from the time the whistle blows.
What I don't get is, like, teams like the 49ers, they've been down for a long time, and all of a sudden they back winning games all over again, and it seems like they like a contender just to go to the biggest game. But the Lions is just like, all of a sudden they got to they reach a ceiling, and then they just go right back down, and they have to go back and rebuild again. For the loyalty and the passion of these football fans that love that team. I mean, even the Tigers, they get to the final, the World Series, and the Red Wings, they go to the Stanley Cup, and the Pistons, even they won championships, they got to the finals. But the passion and loyalty of Lions fans is like they don't have no end. It's no end to them. No matter what the Lions do or whatever, people still going to support them no matter what.
Right, because they're afraid that if they don't go, then they'll miss them having that great year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's just the Ford Field is a good venue. I mean, I look at it on TV and everything. I said that would be great, for the fans. Here's one more question before I let you get to the other callers. I know high school basketball is coming up. And I was looking at the Detroit News previews today about the teams and everything. I know Sexton's going to have a young team this year. But what about Eastern and Everett? Is they still having a lot of is Eastern finally got some stability in their basketball program now?
About
Everett?
Yes, Eastern has. Ron Watts has been there for 7 years, and then over at Everett, they've got a new coach his first year. Desmond Ferguson is there, so he's got some rebuilding to do for that Everett program. But the Eastern program is in pretty good hands.
You think Cha-Cha Tucker, by leaving the Eastern program, you think that might gonna get them to get their team that it's always up to speed? But do you think it? When a player leaves the program to go somewhere else, do the kids respond? This is high school now. Do the kids respond more than they do if it was college?
It's hard. It's really hard to say. They might, but it's really hard to say with high school kids. Mm-hmm. You just don't know.
Hey, Earl, I want to pray for the woman and that family in Kansas City who got shot in the parking lot, man.
Yes.
That's just horrible.
It was.
And thanks for letting me talk to you, and I'm just going to move it along. Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. And now we have Dave Gricky from the Detroit News, and let's talk a little sports with Dave. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Earl. How about you?
Hey, doing good. And, you know, we're talking about these bowl games a lot today. And there's so much excitement, especially in the Mid-American Conference. They got seven teams in. You know, I think that's history, isn't it?
That's history by two. No more than five ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It is. And that's going to bring in a lot of bowl money to the conferences, to the Mid-American Conference. So they're going to be dividing a lot of money between between all the teams in there.
Especially when you're talking about a BCS bowl with yes. $28 million. I mean, that's unheard of for a MAC. Never happened before. And you got to give Northern Illinois a lot of credit. I mean, the last four mm-hmm. years, they've piled up the wins.
Yes, they have, and it's a very good. The Mid-American Conference is a very good. They don't. I've often said people just don't seem to give the Mid-American Conference as much credit as they should get, and a lot of that has to do because they're playing in the shadow of the Big Ten, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of times when they go up against those Big Ten teams, they come away with a win. I mean, we are. Everybody knows that with Central Michigan a few years ago against. Against Michigan State.
Yeah,
and, of course, you know, this year Central beat Iowa, a good yes. Reason that they're going to be playing in the Little Caesars Bowl.
Yes, yes, it is. And that's very good for Central. It'll be interesting to see how many people will go to the Caesars Pizza Bowl. Usually I know they get around 50,000. Probably be that way again, or do you think it might even be bigger this year?
Well, and I think that's a big reason for the matchup. I mean, if you look at it, the MAC this year had the first choice for the Little Caesars Bowl had the first choice for the MAC team, and they went with Central Michigan. A lot of it has to do with attendance and matchups. Mm-hmm. Western Kentucky is, about a seven-hour drive, and you got Central Michigan. You know that their fans are coming, especially since they haven't been in a bowl game for a while.
Yes, and that makes them very attractive. That's a very good matchup with Western. And this is Western's first ever bowl game, isn't it?
Exactly. They've only been a Division I team for 5 years. Back 10 years ago, they won the 1AA national championship when Jack Harbaugh was the head coach. And at that time, his boy Jim actually bought the shoes for the team. So we can see how that program has grown in the last 10 years.
Oh, yes, it has. It's done very well. A lot of bowl games do well, and a lot of teams do well. I mean, just look at Ohio and how good of a program they have, and if they hadn't had all the injuries this year. But Frank Solich has done a fantastic job building up the University of Ohio.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they were in one bowl game before he got there, and now they're in a bowl game every year, and it's not uncommon for them to be playing in the MAC championship game. They opened up the season with a win at Penn State, and
yes.
Penn State had a pretty darn good year, didn't they?
Yes, they did. A lot of people were surprised that Penn State had such a good year.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Without a doubt, their coach did an incredible job.
Yes, he did. Bill O'Brien, and there was some thought that he might leave. He says he's staying, though. He's made it clear that he's going to stay at Penn State, which is good for Penn State because they certainly need the stability now. And, of course, with Joe Paterno passing away, they certainly need that stability in that program if it's going to be built up again.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to build the program, and they need a guy like him. I mean, it's shocking that they did what they did this year, especially
yes.
when you lose like nine players. And I mean, they're not just nine players. We're talking starters and some superstars like,
yeah.
you know, Silas Red. And don't you think maybe he wonders why in the heck he left when you look at it?
Yeah.
I mean, look at USC. They didn't do too well with them, did they?
Right, they didn't. You know, a lot of people left because they thought they were playing a bowl game or that would help make them more attractive to the pros. And, of course, a lot of that, you're taking a big gamble when you leave, though, aren't you?
You certainly are, without a doubt.
Yep. Hey, hey, Dave, you know, when I look at all these different bowl matchups and we look at the Northern Illinois in the Orange Bowl against Florida State, how do you see that matchup going? Do you think that Northern Illinois has a chance against Florida State?
Yeah, without a doubt they do. They have an offense with Jordan Lynch. I mean, he's pretty much a triple threat with you know, it's a triple option of what he runs. And you hear all the coaches all the time saying, we just got to make him one-dimensional. Well, guess what? Easier said than done.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Kent State wanted to do, and it didn't happen at all. You know, he ran for 160 yards, and he threw for over 200. I mean, and he's not just throws, you know, into the flat. I mean, the guy has an arm. He can get it over the middle, tight spaces. The kid's a winner, and he can flat-out play. I think they're going to give him a heck of a game. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to win, but I think it'll be a 14 to 17 point, you know, kind of like a swing. So it might be one of those games where it's going to be, I don't know, 38-21, something like that. And I don't think that that would be a bad showing. But could they pull off an upset? Without a doubt. And, you know, it was almost a joke when you watched the pairing show last night because, yeah. I mean, ESPN just totally ripped them. I mean,
yes,
and acted like they didn't belong. And, yeah. I mean, if you look at the Orange Bowl last year, guess what? West Virginia scored 70 on Clemson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So are you trying to say that Northern Illinois doesn't belong there? And, you know, Clemson did last year? And if you look at both of these places that are over them, I think Clemson's like number 14 in the BCS standings. And then I think Northern Illinois is there. And then Nebraska's number 16. Well, guess what? Nebraska, what'd they give out? 70 in the Big Ten championship game?
Yes, they did.
You know
what
I mean? Mm-hmm. So trust me, Northern Illinois, they belong in the conversation. And they do belong in a BCS game this year.
Yes, they do, and with all the MAC teams getting bids, that's going to be a nice piece of change for the MAC to divide up, isn't it?
Well, it is, without a doubt. Plus, I mean, the MAC show that they can play. I mean, in pretty much like week 7, week 8, somewhere in there. I mean, you had other teams go in, like Toledo. They played Cincinnati in Toledo, and Cincinnati and Butch Jones' team was ranked. And guess what happened there? Toledo beat them. The following week, Kent State goes to, you know, to Rutgers, which was ranked number 15 in the country, slugged them in the face and won. So you can't say that the MAC teams don't belong, because they do, and they showed it all the way through the year. I think they had like 8 wins over BCS teams this year.
Yeah, yes, they did. They did very well. I heard a lot about that during the season, how people would be bringing that up, how well the MAC was doing, and now it's reflected in the number of ball games they're in.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Hey, Dave, when we look at all these and talking about the different bowl games and how the MAC has made a big impact, let's turn our attention to Michigan State and Michigan. Michigan State has got a pretty tough matchup with TCU, a team with a lot of speed in their program, so that should be in Michigan. Michigan's got a tough matchup, too, with South Carolina.
I think it's going to be a really, really fun bowl season. I really, really do. And, you know, Michigan State pretty much has their own night when they're going to be playing. And TCU, I mean, they're a perennial power. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it wasn't very long ago when they played in the Rose Bowl, you know, and he's done one heck of a job with them, the head coach there. And that's going to be a great matchup. Plus, I mean, you have a great defense with Michigan State. And Le'Veon Bell, you got a superstar player. I mean, so it's going to be fun. And then, of course, South Carolina. Woo!
Yeah.
I mean, the old ball coach is going to go up against Brady Hoke, so that's going to be a good one, too, on New Year's Day.
It is. They're both going to be very good games. Hey, Dave, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll get together and talk some more, especially when the bowl games start growing fast and heavy and we're starting to get up on them.
Well, you know what, Earl, and it's not just football right now.
Yeah.
You got Michigan.
Yeah, got basketball.
They're playing pretty good. And how about that volleyball team?
Yes, they're playing Michigan. Yes, coming up soon.
Yeah, and they
yes.
beat what the defending national
yes.
champion or something
beat
like
UCLA.
That.
UCLA. Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a lot of good things going on in your town right now, without a doubt. A lot of excitement.
Yeah,
hey, pleasure again, Earl.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dave. We'll talk to you later on, my friend.
Okay.
Okay. Bye bye. And that's Dave Gericke from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870. And we want to say, hopefully that family and Javon Belcher's family and the woman that he shot her on Saturday. I know everyone knows about that. Such a tragic situation. And yes, and we want to just give out our prayers for both the families from the man and the family of the kids. And they had one daughter for sure. And we just want to wish the families, both families, the best, and our prayers are with them. Hey, thank you all for listening, and thank you for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Make sure you have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.